And we welcome you back in here from the Pine Bowl in Loretto, Pennsylvania, the campus St. Francis University, with Monmouth in week number 7 of their season, not looking as they have the last couple of weeks. They trail St. Francis by a score of 21-3. Time to take a peek at our scoreboard from around the country. It is brought to you in part by Coca-Cola Zero, real Coke taste, and zero calories. We'll take a look first at the top 25 on the FBS level, where number 25 Missouri leading number 7 Georgia 14-10. Number 24 Virginia Tech on top of Pitt by a score of 10-0. A lot of talk in that game on my drive out this morning. The fans out in the Western PA area hoping the Panthers could maybe pull an upset. Texas Tech and Iowa State tied right now at 14. The Red River rivalry has Texas on top of Oklahoma by a score of 10-3. All these games, by the way, in the second quarter. Number 14, South Carolina leading Arkansas 17-7. Games to kick in that 3:30 time slot. Number 3, Clemson, home for Boston College. It'll be number 15, Baylor, on the road at Kansas State. Number 10, LSU, home for number 17, Florida. 19th-ranked Northwestern will play at Wisconsin. Big one in the Pac-12. Number 2, Oregon, will take their 5-0 mark on the line at number 16, Washington. Seattle should be hopping for that one. Nearby here in State College, Penn State will welcome in number 18 and undefeated Michigan. 23rd-ranked Northern Illinois is home for Akron. Number 5, Stanford on the road this evening at Utah. Kentucky welcoming in number 1, Alabama. Night kickoffs tonight, Texas A&M on the road at Ole Miss. Number 11, UCLA welcoming in Cal. We take a look now in the Big South. Take a peek at the scoreboard first in those games. If my computer will cooperate. There we go. Charleston Southern, who has been a bit of a surprise at 6-0 so far in the year, they will be at 1-4 VMI. Number 5-0 Coastal Carolina, just outside the top 25, the top 5 this week, will welcome in Gardner Webb. Those the only games involving Big South teams. Meanwhile, in the Northeast Conference scoreboard today, in addition to St. Francis leading Monmouth 21-3, Bryant and Brown all tied right now at 7. Sacred Heart and Central Connecticut State are scoreless. Battle of the State of Connecticut there. Duquesne and Wagner just getting set to kick off. 21-3 our score right now as St. Francis leads Monmouth. An alarming start to this football game. On the opening kickoff, Bishop Neal able to pick off a fumble recovery, bring it back in from 8 yards out, 7-0. Terrell Smith with a 18-yard touchdown pass from Max Ward after an 8-play, 49-yard drive, 14-0. The ensuing drive, Daquan Minter stepped in front of a Brandon Hill pass, brought it back 44 yards, 21-0 at that point. End of the first quarter. Monmouth finally on the scoreboard. Eric Spillane matching his career-long 46-yarder after an 11-play, 60-yard drive for MU. 21-3 is our score right now. We step out. We're halftime here at the Pine Bowl. St. Francis 21, Monmouth 3. Back after this quick timeout, Eddie will talk things over with Greg Viscomi. 2-minute break on the halftime show. You're listening live on the Shore Sports Network.
And we are back live at the Pine Bowl in picturesque Loretto, Pennsylvania on a beautiful Saturday weather-wise. Not if you're a Monmouth fan, however, as the Hawks trail the Red Flash 21-3 alongside my halftime guest, Greg Viscomi. I am Eddie Iacopinti. We're going to get a few minutes with Greg, the assistant AD for communications and new media at Monmouth. And Greg, I know you were on the field for a lot of that first half, shooting the highlights that we'll see on Monday. I also know there weren't too many of them.
You mean the lowlights?
With St. Francis leading 21-3. In your time here at Monmouth, do you ever remember a football game starting so inauspiciously for the Hawks, especially a game in which we all thought they'd come out and play well?
Yeah, you know, not really. there's a couple just strange plays there. For whatever reason, Tevin Brandon, you know, fifth-year senior, he comes, gets the ball, runs right up, turns his back to the defenders, something, you know, I don't think I've ever seen anybody do, and the St. Francis defender just came in. It was helmet right on the football. Ball squirted out. Great play by Bishop Neal to pick the ball up and go the rest of the way for the touchdown. Then we come back, and the offense, you know, we're running the ball pretty well. We start to throw it not very well. We punt. You know, you don't have Joe Johnson in there. They obviously, the Red Flash, recognize that, and they go right at Ifeasaluka, who's actually doing a pretty good job on the corner, and he bites on a little bit of a move to start, almost like a hitch and go, and the kid goes right past him. So now you're down 14-0, and you're saying, okay, it's 14-0, but, you know, one was a fluke play, and we got some pretty good backs and some pretty good, you know, offensive stars here. And then you come out, and Hill throws the pick six on miscommunication between him and Neil Sterling. And it seemed like kind of was equally their fault down there based on what I was hearing. Neil should have not broken the route off so quickly. He should have kind of continued out. And maybe Brandon should have waited a second before he threw the ball. So it was kind of a 50-50 job there. And it's just something has to be done here. Mammoth's moving the ball a little bit, and the defense is actually playing pretty well. They gave up the one score, and that was on a 49-yard drive. I mean, the field position for the defense has been atrocious this game.
It's been atrocious, but also we've continued to see these miscommunications between quarterback and receiver. When we saw it weeks 1, 2, and 3, you almost chalk it up to, okay, they haven't played together very long. Now, Greg, this is game 7.
Yeah.
And it almost appears as though now they're not just incomplete passes. That one being a pick six, obviously, could be a difference later in this game with Mammoth trailing 21-3. We did see Brandon get shaken up a bit towards the end of that half. Was just down there by the team. He appears to be okay. Should be good to go for the second half.
Yeah, I would think that you're going to see him go back in. I hate to kill him. I really like him, and he's done some good stuff here. But 4-14 with a pick six is just abysmal. And really, most of the passes have been pretty bad. The one he put right on Neil drops, which, you know, is something that's plagued Neil a little bit in the past, but it hasn't really affected him so far this year. He's been pretty sure-handed. The offense just right now is not playing very good. And the thing that scares you is that with a back like Kyle Harbridge, it's only a matter of time before he starts to get going. I thought you'd see him a little bit more. You know, they had a 21-3 lead, really 21-0 lead at the time, and they were still going to the air. I mean, this is a team that averages 12 passes a game, I believe, and Max Ward is 7 of 10 for 66 yards. Of course, he had that 18-yarder. I mean, they've done some pretty good. He's done some good things in the backfield there to kind of extend drives and move around and make plays, and you got to give it to St. Francis. They're playing pretty good football.
And we know that there, and Matt and I have said it during the broadcast, more than on one occasion, they are probably the most improved team that Mammoth will see in the Northeast Conference play portion of their schedule. But how much of it, Greg, is St. Francis playing well defensively, but how much of it from you on the field in that first half is just Mammoth's offense being out of sync, with the exception of a couple of KB Asante runs that they just didn't look to be meshing in that first half?
I'd say 50-50, and everybody's to blame. The line isn't blocking great. Brandon Hill's getting too long to get rid of the ball. I don't know what it looked like from up here, but early in the first quarter on that third and long, Julian Hayes, sorry, escaped my mind for a second.
I wasn't sure if you were just looking for names or trying to avoid the myriad of insects in this booth.
Yeah, there's a full-blown beehive somewhere in this. might actually be in your bouffant next to me. No. Julian Hayes comes around the left side on that third and long. They decide to run it, and it looks like he's got a touchdown, and he cuts it outside of Mike Hunchak and is caught for a 16-yard gain. So I don't think anybody on the offensive side is playing well, not one person. And I think that's something that could be corrected. You know, I think early going on in the game, we were down 7-0. We're running the ball four or five yards at a clip, and I think Coach Van Zyl is just trying to get Brandon into the game and get Neil into the game so we start throwing the ball. Well, here comes the incompletions and overthrows and just drop balls. So I think, you know, the most important thing is going to be for the Hawks to come out. They got to kick the ball off, get a three and out, and get the ball in decent field position for the offense to come down and get a score. You got to get a score on this first drive. You got to get a stop, and you got to get a score in the first two drives. Otherwise, it's just too hard to come back. Mammoth doesn't score. We don't have that breakaway threat in the running game to score quickly. And normally you'd say Neil Sterling is, but Daquan Minter's playing him pretty well. So I'm very impressed by St. Francis. The only thing I don't really get is they got two of the worst-looking inside linebackers I've ever seen. I would be running the ball right at them all game long. I mean, I know they got a decent D line, but those two. Though I thought for a second Coach Dorsett had put a helmet on and was wearing number 8 for St. Francis. I said it to Jeff Stapleton on the sideline.
This is our halftime show presented by Surf Taco. Surf Taco, good food, good people, and good vibe here at halftime with Greg Viscomi, Monmouth trailing St. Francis 21-3. And I know, Greg, on the way out, we kind of talked about it. Obviously, MU and the Red Flash playing as independent opponents this year. St. Francis still in the Northeast Conference. I know you and I were talking last night. We feel as though this team could win the NEC with what we've seen score-wise from some of the teams around the league and from Robert Morris last week. And from that to now, this St. Francis team looks like they could be a force in the league.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, I do think that we've give-wrapped 14 points to them.
Oh, I agree
100%. Don't get me wrong. I mean, absurd. The kickoff fumble and the pick six. You know, I might have been able to take that in for a touchdown. However, this is a pretty good St. Francis team, and Coach Villarreal, I'm sorry.
Valerial. It's okay, the Brownies just entered the booth. I get it.
Was I distracted?
He
has done an awesome job, and he's a great guy, and you got to really be happy for him. So not today, though. I'm hoping today we get a big comeback. We haven't had a big comeback in a long time. I think we got to at least get 10 points here in the 10 points in the third quarter, and that puts us in a position to go down and win this game. And I think we can do it. We've got the studs to go do it. So.
Well, I know Matt's eager to call a comeback. I know we like these comfortable wins the last few weeks, but I know we would very much enjoy a comeback win here on the Shore Sports Network. And while we have the chance, I know we've got, you know, always a few minutes to look around the athletic department at MU and some other things. I know women's soccer currently playing right now at Siena. I know we had a men's soccer win during the week that we were able to broadcast in glorious HD on Hawk Vision. What else you got rolling for us?
Nothing. I'm in full football mode right now.
You're just locked in on gridiron.
It's one thing when you know.
Did you try the brownie?
I did a little bit. You were talking. You know, you're so long-winded. I could have about 3 brownies in the time.
Your answers are much longer than my questions.
Well, I'm trying to keep it interesting for the folks out there. I'm in full football mode. I don't even know what's going on. I think we got a home soccer game tonight at 7 p.m. And, you know, that'll be on Hawk Vision in HD. And for next week, I don't even know. I know we play Cornell
one day
on
at
Saturday.
A time.
Yeah, you know, I can't get past losing 21-3 to St. Francis.
You're down right now, and I can tell. What do you got? How about next week? Not to get ahead of ourselves. You got that big homecoming contest with Cornell back home. And we know homecoming always seems to be it's a good day. It's always a festive day on campus. I know you're not a Monmouth grad like Matt and I obviously are, but you always seem to enjoy it too.
Oh, yeah. Our kids come out, the students come out, and they have a great time in the parking lot. Last year, we had some monster trucks. We had some DJs. we went out there, and we did a great pregame video, and the kids really got up for it. And the fraternities, they always do a good job with the floats and all that. So I'm really looking forward to it. We haven't won, I think, in homecoming in a long time. So I'm looking forward to a win, too. And don't forget that Cornell has a legit quarterback, NFL quarterback prospect in Jeff Matthews, and I'm legitimately waiting for Darnell Leslie to put him on his back 3 or 4 times in that game. So it's going to be good. You should come out, and I think it's supposed to be a pretty nice day.
Well, if we get a day anywhere near the one today that we have in Loretto, should be a good one. Greg, we appreciate some knowledge at halftime, sir. We'll be looking for your tweets at MUHawksFB in the second half.
All right, thank you, Eddie. Appreciate you having me on. Go Hawks. You're going to see a comeback here. We're going to be talking. This is going to be one for the ages, one way or another.
It's been called. You heard it here first at halftime from Monmouth assistant AD Greg Viscomi. Hawks trail St. Francis 21-3 at halftime. How long of a break you want, Matt? We'll take a 2-minute timeout, Ray, back in the studio. We'll bring Matt back into the broadcast booth, and we'll have the second half call for you between Monmouth and the Red Flash, and you're going to hear it right here on the Shore Sports Network.